We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. Throws it down. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
Salute to Knicks Nation, special edition of Knicks Fan TV Live. We are live here at Clyde's Wine and Dine. CP the franchise here. My guy Jake Brown, radio executive producer of several New York Post sports podcasts. We are here live at Clyde's Wine and Dine for the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation Luncheon, Knicks Legends Lunch. And yeah, it's going to be a great time. We have it's a private event. A lot of fans coming in to celebrate Dr. Barnett and some of the Knicks legends from the 70s teams. Obviously, Clyde will be in attendance. We'll have Earl the Pro Monroe. Dr. Dick Barnett is here. Some of the supporting cast. Mike Reardon is here. Bill Hoskett is here. Spike Lee is here as well. So we will hear from some of these guys. And we're going to be taking your phone calls on the latest Knicks news and rumors as well. Draft, free agency. Anything you guys want to talk about, phone lines are going to be up. The Discord is up as well. So we're just going to vibe out, have a show. The show goes on from 12 to 2. So we'll be here all day. Hopefully you guys are able to join us. And once again, make sure you guys are hitting that thumbs up button for your boys. Knicks Fan TV Live. Jake, how you feeling, man?
The question is, who's going to have the flyest Blazers? Because Dr. Barnett is fly. Clyde, we know, is fly.
Yeah.
Earl's fly. Those guys had that style, like the pre-Studio 54 days.
Yeah.
That your Blazers got nothing on
it. I'm lame today, man. I know Clyde is going to come in here with something fresh. Dr. Barnett, I had the opportunity to interview him last month or 2 months ago, and he was fresh, man. He was fresh. I don't even think he took his sunglasses off.
These guys have styled and profiled their whole lives, so we got nothing on them. I'm excited to see that, I think, the most.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited to, you know, I've met Clyde a bunch of times here, and he's a great guy. Obviously, a Knicks legend who I wish I would have seen in his prime. I'm excited to see Earl the Pearl Monroe. Excited to meet Dr. Barnett in person. You know, having interviewed him online, it would be nice to meet him in person. And so it's for a good cause. It's a fundraiser for the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation as well. There is a link in the video description to participate in the silent auction. There's a silent auction going on during the event where you can get exclusive Knicks memorabilia. So click on that link. Participate in the auction, and all the proceeds go to the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation. So it's for a worthwhile cause, and we'll hear from Dr. Barnett in just a few minutes. Jake,
CP, these guys had nicknames. Fallback Baby.
Fallback Baby.
Earl the Pearl. What happened to these nicknames?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, the Fallback Baby, man. Fallback Baby. It's those are some great times, man. I'm sure New York City was rocking and rallying behind these guys in the 70s, man. You can only imagine what that was like.
We weren't even a fetus yet. We weren't even born.
Not even a twinkle in my father's eye, man. Not even a twinkle in my father's eye.
I wish I was alive. God, the Mets, Jets, and Knicks all in the same year. Imagine the pandemonium in New York.
Will that ever happen again?
No, never.
It's the question.
Will one of those teams ever win again?
Will one of those teams ever win again? But the Mets seem like they're in good standing, though, right?
This year, yes. I am there like almost every day. That's my second. I'm there more than I'm home at Citi Field. So the Mets are exciting. The question is, Can our Knicks get there in this next year? They're getting closer and closer, but in the next 3 to 5 year window, can we bring a title to the Garden?
It's going to be hard, man. But you know, I have faith in Leon and Wes and Scott Perry, who's being brought back on an extension. I feel like they have a plan. They have a framework in place. They have their targets. I don't think they will, you know, overspend on, in certain areas as previous regimes have. And so I think part of basketball is just getting lucky, man, just being in the right place at the right time to acquire talent. And I think they're going to put themselves in that position. You know, we have a lot of draft capital, a lot of salary cap, and so now it's just going out and getting the pieces.
They have the draft capital right now as we speak. Yep. Now the question is, do they have it in a couple of weeks, in a month? Do they trade that capital, which we're used to them doing, for the likes of Andrea Bargnani? Now we want to get it for guys like Damian Lillard, which we'll, I'm sure, get into at some point this afternoon. Yeah. And this is a class that's not as good because – obviously, the COVID-shortened year, a different year in college basketball. The fact that there isn't a distinct number one pick scares you a little bit.
Yeah.
When the Knicks have 19 and 21, but you know they stocked up this capital, and it's finally here, and they're building the right way. They're building the young way, and I think that's what Knicks fans are excited about with the youth on the roster. You don't have these 35, 36-year-old over-the-hill guys here, and I think the future is something to be happy about. Now, can the Knicks capitalize on that?
That's the key. But right now, you got to like what they have in terms of a solid young core brewing. I mean, RJ's taken another step. I was, you know, encouraged by his second year, the way he elevated his efficiency numbers, 40% from three, got up to 17 points per game, got up to 75% from the free throw line, and just a leader. I feel like RJ is a guy, I feel like you have to be just as sharp mentally as you are on the court, I mean, with the ball in your hands to survive and thrive in New York. And I think RJ has that makeup.
I like that RJ got better as the year went on. It seemed like he grew as the year went on. You know, the first 25 games, it felt like, please don't shoot a three. Then you're like, please do shoot a three.
Yeah.
And that's development. That's a guy who worked on his game midseason and got better. And you don't see that a lot. The first year, you were like, never shoot a three.
Right.
And then it progressed like, all right, don't shoot. Maybe shoot if you're open.
Yeah.
Shoot with a hand in your face.
Yeah.
And I think he could only get better with a good offseason ahead of him. And you know, this, the weird offseason screwed with guys, too, because for the Knicks, it was longer because they weren't in the bubble.
Yeah.
But it was odd. Like, guys weren't at gyms. The COVID shutdown.
Yeah.
So I think now you get somewhat of a normal offseason
here. Full
training camp. Obviously, a little different because the Knicks played, you know, into late May or whatever it was. But I think a normal summer and a normal training regimen is going to help this team and help young guys like RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley, who in his first year, we never – I mean, I spoke to him, and he said he kept the receipts of those grades that he got when CBS Sports gave the Knicks
– the D-plus.
Well, D-plus, right?
The infamous D-plus.
He said he screenshotted that immediately, CP, and he said, I used that as fuel, and you could see it.
Yep.
And, you know, it made me feel old when he said to me, I got my floaters from McCollum and Lou Williams. I'm like, McCollum and Lou Williams, they just got to the league, it feels like. So I'm like, damn, this guy is, you know, barely legal. He can't even have a legal drink, and he's getting floaters from guys that are still in the league. So I'm excited to see IQ if he's still here. They don't trade him. And, they hit it right in the draft. They didn't have the Frank Ntilikina miss or a high miss.
Knox, who they got to pay
$6 million.
That's my guy, though, man. Salute to Kev. It was a whiff. But I'm encouraged, especially with IQ. I think we'll see what happens with Obi Toppin and how they utilize him next season. I like to see him experimented in the lineups with Julius Randle because I'm just not sure, you know, bringing Obi off the bench. I want to see them, you know, together in the lineup, in a small ball lineup, see if they can stretch the floor out a little bit and make defenses work out there. But overall, again, you have two high-quality and character guys, and that was one of the emphasis in this past draft in terms of the guys that they were going to select. And, you know, OB obviously being part of CAA and being represented by Leon's son and quickly coming through the Kentucky program where Wes and Leon, you know, have a great relationship with Calipari. The relationship was there, the familiarity was there, but they got some two high-quality and high-character kids. And so, as you said, with a full training camp under their belt, I'll be out in Vegas for Summer League in the next 2 weeks. Hopefully, they'll be out there playing as well. We didn't have that last year. So hopefully with that, you know, we'll see some progression with our rookies. And then we'll see what happens in the draft, man. You know, a lot of trade talk early there. We have our first guest of the afternoon here. He was a member of the 6970 Knicks as well, Mr. Bill Hoskett. Bill, this is CP here from Knicks Fan TV. We have Jake Brown from New York Post Sports. How you doing today?
We're doing well. Looking forward to this, so. Great to be back and to see some of the guys and I just sat down with Dr. Barnett now. He was Dick Barnett when I was here. But Dick reminded me of a mistake I made 50 years ago. It didn't take him long. He said, have you tried to guard Lenny Wilkins lately? No. So,
doctors don't forget that. No, years later,
that's
forget.
A name from the past to all of you and to everybody. Yeah, but I was in the game given to Buescher a rest, and they ran a little pitchback play, and I switched out onto Lenny Wilkins. I yelled switch, and he hadn't used his dribble yet. And he blew by me, and to this day, I don't know which side he went by on. And Dick offered me a windbreaker at the timeout, saying, hey, you got to learn some things. You don't ever, with your speed, you don't ever yell switch and try to check Lenny Wilkins. Yeah, so, yeah.
Bill, what made that 69-70 team so special? It was obviously the first Knicks title, but you seem to remember it like it was yesterday. So clearly it was fond memories for you.
Oh, it was a tremendous memory. They were not only great players, but great people. Mm-hmm. And it was a group that played together, had to play together. We weren't overpowering large or anything like that or extremely athletic, but very smart basketball team that knew how to move the ball. Red Holzman forced us to play defense whether we wanted to or not. But it was a great group of guys. Willis was such a great captain, and, you know, Dick and Clyde in the backcourt. And then Cassie coming off the bench, he was so explosive, and Bill and Dave up front. It was just a fun team just to be a part of it. And in that era, you didn't get recognition for doing anything other than winning. And so Bill Russell had kind of set the bar kind of high up in Boston, 13 years and 11 rings. And so it was all about winning. And we were really excited to get that first championship for the city.
You being part of that Minutemen group, what did you feel like your role was for that team?
Well, you know, it was really just to make sure that you didn't hurt the team, you know, and keep everybody ready. My first year, we had so many injuries. Phil Jackson got hurt, and so some of us had to play where I don't think Coach Holzman really wanted to play us all that much. But and after the trade, when we got Dave DeBuescher, he was a great mentor to me because – Dave guarded the opposing big forward on the other team and gave me a lot of instructions. The 5 or 6 minutes I would in to give him a blow, he made sure that the guy didn't get his average against me. So he was like a coach on the floor for me.
I'm curious, were you guys motivated at all by the Mets and Jets winning prior in 69? Were you like, all right, we need to complete this trifecta in New York City?
Oh, well, I don't know if we talked about it that much, but it was kind of obvious with the media attention and everything that went on. So and we became kind of the focal point in the winter. Even the Broadway and actors and the movie people, they would come during the week games. Now, Saturday night, they were somewhere else. But during the week, they were behind our bench. And so it was just a fun time to be in New York. And anytime you're winning, it's great. And I've said many times, I ended up in the expansion draft a couple years later, but I can't imagine being in this city and not winning. It wouldn't be as much fun. But I remember the night we won. We had won 18 straight, which at that time was an NBA record, later broken by the Lakers. And but we lost the, I think, going for 19, we got beat by the Pistons in the Garden. And the game ended, and we stood up, and we're kind of walking off the floor, and the place started to boo. And then they erupted into like a standing ovation. It was kind of like a Bronx cheer. Yeah. Like, what's wrong with you guys? You know, you lost a game.
Not much has changed. Not much has changed today.
Probably not.
Wow. So in that game 7, you know, you had all the drama. Did you know Willis was going to come back?
Well, we all had the feeling he was going to try. I mean, if you knew Willis Reed, and I roomed with Willis on the road my rookie year, so really got to know him as a person. And that dates us alone because now they all have individual suites. So, but we had 2 to a room. But Willis had such willpower, such dignity. He's a great captain, just a great man. And we knew if in any way possible he was going to play. Then to come out and have the Garden erupt the way it did, it was, you know, I've been in a lot of arenas, a lot of games. You know, we won in high school and went to the Final Four and played in the Olympics. But I never heard a crowd like that 7th game when Willis came out of the locker room. And the Lakers actually stopped warming up. And, you know,
we're
Hall of Famers. You got, you know, Baylor West, you know, Wilt, and they stopped and said, "What's going on here?" So, and then when he made his first couple of shots, it was, and then Walt had a phenomenal game and took over, and it was over from that point on. So,
Dave DeBuscher, may he rest in peace. How integral was he to that Knicks team?
Oh, he was terrific. I mean, Dave was, I think he was born a man. He'd already been a player coach of the Pistons when he, you know, at 24 years old. Man. So when the trade was made, it changed our whole team, because not only to give us a great power forward that really understood the game, but it moved Willis from the corner back inside where he was more comfortable after Bellamy was traded. Mm. And Nekomives was traded, and it brought Walt Frazier to the floor, to the game. And so the team just, it changed the perspective of the entire team. So it was fun. I, you know, one of my fondest recollections that I tell people when I speak back in Ohio or whatever, you know, my first game, I came straight from the Olympic Games, so they were in the fall that year. And so the team had already played four or five regular season games. And so I was introduced that night, and just, you know, Red told me, "You're not going to play, but you're going to go through warm-ups, and they're going to have a little introduction," which they did. But I took my spot on the Nick bench, and Walt Frazier was to my left, and Bill Bradley was to my right, and they were both college players of the year. And I said, "This is a pretty good team." They're not in the lineup.
It's a cavalcade of stars,
yeah,
right?
And they're not playing. So you knew you had to bring your A game just to be part of it. But it was a tremendous experience.
Wow. You mentioned Lenny Wilkins in here, who's a legendary coach as we know him, but for you, a great player, who was, would you say, that NBA legend, who was the toughest guy to guard in your playing days?
Oh, my. They all tried to career against me. So, I mean, Billy Cunningham was so tough. Chet Walker was a great player. Connie Hawkins had so much ability. Played an exhibition game, not a regular season game, against Dr. J once, and he did things we'd never seen done before, and now probably 25 guys in the league can do that.
Yeah,
but they were so special. And then the great teams in Boston, those games were so tough. And, of course, Havlicek and Siegfried were both alums of Ohio State the way I was. I'm a little bit younger than those guys were, but I knew how tough they were. And, of course, Russell, when it was playoff time, was just unreal. I mean, just a great player. And, of course, Wilt was so imposing. And we had Jerry West, I mean, out there. Just great, great players, and guys that really came to compete every night. So it was a – I think when they picked the top 50 in the league, we'd played against maybe 37 of them or something in that era.
Yeah.
So it was pretty phenomenal.
Will Chamberlain. That's all I need to say. Like, that's it. May he rest in peace. Like, what was he like in covering Will Chamberlain? What was that like?
He was a monster. Wilt was people forget how strong he was. They think – call him Wilt the Stilt and all that, but later in his career he had really bulked up, and that the year that we won the championship, the first one in 70, Wilt had torn his patella tendon during the year and said, "I'll be back for the playoffs." And we played him a regular season game toward the end of the year, and he had just gotten off the universal weight machine, which they used at the time, and came in our locker room before the game to talk to Willis. And I said, "I've never seen a human being look anything like that." I mean, he was like 330 pounds and still looked muscular. His arms were huge. And Wilt was amazing. There's no question. In fact, in the fifth game, which we were fortunate enough to win that year, after that's the game that Willis got hurt, I actually came in for Willis. And that didn't last very long. That didn't intimidate Wilt too much either. So, you know, but very seldom do you ever get in a game at my size, you know, back then, 6'8", 228 or whatever, that you're giving away 6 inches and, you know, almost 100 pounds. Yeah. I mean, he was 3 1/4 that year in the playoffs. So, no.
All right. We are back live here from Clyde's Wine and Dine with a special guest making his Knicks Fan TV debut. It is an honor to have the legend Spike Lee here. Spike, CP, Jake Brown here.
How you doing,
what's
guys?
Going on,
how you
man?
Doing? What's up?
Good, good. Well, welcome to Clyde's Wine and Dine. We know that, you know, the 69-70 team, you purchased the net and Red Holzman's trophy. What did that team mean to you growing up here in New York?
Well, I was at May 8th, 1970, Game 7. I was 13 years old. And my father's a Knicks fan, so he would take me to the Old Garden. And these are my guys. These are my guys, you know. And someone, everybody's not here. Dave the Busher, big time, Danny Whalen, the trainer, Coach Red Holzman, Stallworth. So it's kind of bittersweet, but these are the guys I grew up with, you know, the New York Knicks.
Spike, you were what, 12, 13?
13 years old.
So you were in the prime of your fanhood as a teenager. So you probably
I don't know if that was a prime, but
it was prime, you know.
I wouldn't use the word prime.
But that's when you start remembering things when you're a teenager. You know, when you're 7, 8, you don't remember what's going on with the team. So you got it as like a 13-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
So you look back and you seem to remember things 51 years. You remember the specific games, specific moments from that team.
Right. One of my biggest memories of that game, May 8th, 1970.
So you remember the date. Look at that. Come on, 51 years later.
It is that both teams are out, you know, doing pregame warm-ups. Mm-hmm. And Willis came out of the locker room, dragging his leg. That had to be one of the loudest noise I've ever heard. I've been in a lot of crazy games, not just in the Garden, but just in general, Yankee Stadium, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And what people don't talk about is that, as I was watching it, the entire Laker team stopped their warm-up drill and turned around to see Willis come out.
Will look intimidated, man. I was watching on video. Will look
intimidated.
I mean,
we're talking about Will Chamberlain, Jerry West. In fact, crazy story. I was at the memorial for Kobe, and I went up to Jerry. I said, Jerry, I saw you. And he said, Spike, that wasn't me. I didn't turn around and look. Well, I didn't want to get an argument. And after that, in came Elgin Baylor. But I said, I'm going to leave Elgin alone. But three of the greatest players ever. Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, and Will Chamberlain they stopped their layup drill, the turnaround. And the game was 1-0. And then Willis hit his first two shots. It was, you know, it was over. We all know the all time great game sevens that Clyde put in. And like many Knicks fans, we thought that we're going to be winning championships for a long time. You know, we've got another one, 72-73, beat the Lakers again, but it's been a drought since then.
How did you feel like that 73 team stacked up to the 70 team with the addition of Pearl Monroe?
Look, I love Pearl. That's my brother. But the first one...
First one's always the sweetest.
Always the sweetest. Yeah. No disrespect to Pearl. I love my brother. In fact, Earl Monroe was the technical advisor on He Got Game.
Mm-hmm.
So every every time we had shooting basketball sequences, he was right by me.
Yeah.
In the director's chair, both looking at the monitor. But I think Coach Tibb is great. Leon Rose, my brother, Worldwide West. They're going to do some work Thursday. We're going to do some work.
Big test.
You know, with this draft coming up.
Yep.
We got a stack of draft picks, and, you know, we got to make some moves to be better.
Well, speaking of moves, are you in the Damian Lillard camp? Do you think the Knicks should go all out and make the deal for Dame?
Here's the thing, though. There's two ways I look at it. To get a player of that caliber, you got to give up a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened to the Knicks when we got Carmelo? How many guys we got rid of?
It's Carmelo trade all the team.
And I love Carmelo. Come on. That's my Red Hook brother.
Yeah.
Brooklyn's in the house. But if I'm thinking like Dame, I'd love to go to New York, but they got to trade half the team. Who am I going to be playing with? So that's the dilemma.
Yeah.
That's the dilemma. But we got to get better. I mean, And I believe in Leon Rose, believe in Coach Tibbs, and you know I believe in World Wide West.
In West we trust.
In West we trust. Yeah. So we're gonna do what we gotta do.
Well, it's such a star-driven league, Spike, that they need to bring another star. The draft picks aren't going to do it. It's going to take a Dame, or it's going to maybe it's Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. Well, I don't know if those are stars, but
Damon,
you need another star.
Damon, where did he get drafted?
He came out of Lehigh.
So I'm just agreeing with what you're saying. You can't get somebody in a draft. Yeah. I mean, look at Giannis, you know. You just got to be lucky, and you got to do due diligence. Yeah. So – it's going to be a combination of draft picks, and also we got to get a trade. It's going to be
yep.
It's not going to be one or the other. It's going to have to be both.
What did you feel like went wrong in this first-round exit against the Hawks this year? Where do you feel like they faltered?
The Hawks were a better team. Yeah. You know, we beat them. We swept in the regular season. Don't mean shit. The playoffs.
It's a different animal.
If you got some weakness, they're going to find it and expose your ass.
Yep.
And I think we're going to give credit to Nate McMillan. Nate did it. I mean, I'm surprised they kept him on the interim tag for as long as they did. And then we couldn't stop Trey.
Yeah.
And also, I like to say, spitting on people, throwing shit, man, shit's got to stop. You know, that's just... Yeah. It's just ill-mannered. It's rude, and you know they should be locked up. You do some stuff like that, you know. I've talked to people. Well, I never did no crazy shit.
You've
like
done a little talking, courtside.
Yeah. I never did. No. You know, I didn't even curse. You know.
Yeah, I felt like the electricity in the Garden.
Oh, it was
amazing. I thought that was amazing, man. I mean, you've been to every game. I was at 1 and 2, but it felt like the roof was going to blow off that place.
The roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn. It was like that.
Yeah, it was like that.
Trey Young's balding chant is acceptable. As a bald guy, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, but the
F. Trey Young, come on.
And also... Why Trey's cool. He didn't do nothing to anybody. And then when you start, I mean, some people can't take it. But he took it and put it back in our face.
And destroyed us.
He's not Reggie Miller as your good pal of the 90s.
Me and Reggie are cool.
Yeah.
But that made him play better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Trey's like, I'm peace and love. Why you... Say these things about me. All right, motherfucker. You killed us. You know, some people got to leave alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True. Some people just leave alone.
Yeah.
Don't say nothing.
He destroyed us, man.
When Mike would come in the Garden, I would say, shut up.
No tape closed.
Yeah.
I said, hey, he's going to kill us, but not because of something I said.
Talking to the legendary Spike Lee. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Last question for you, Spike. You were recently named to the Cannes Film Festival, first black jury member in 74 years.
President.
Now,
the black folks on the jury would never not know. President. In the 74 years of the festival.
Yeah. What did that feel like for you?
It felt great. I've been there before, you know, several of my films. Mm. But the first black person to be president of the jury. You know, this is the world's greatest film festival. So it was a great honor. And, you know, what's wrong with the Yankees?
What's wrong with the Yankees?
Let's get on Cam.
Can't relate as a Mets fan right now.
I'm a Yankees fan.
Yo, I want to tell you this, though. In 69, I was a Mets fan. I ran on the field 3 times. You know, back then you could run on the field.
Yeah.
Why'd you leave? You should have stayed with us. Well, no, you got a better life being a Yankee fan.
First when they won the East, that's first year division. No, when they won the Eastern Division. Then when they won against the Braves. And then when Davey Johnson flied out, the Cleon Jones left. And I had my – everybody, if you ran on the field, you on the subway, you had a piece of grass.
Yeah, now you're getting tasered if you run on the field.
Yeah.
I might not get close. Did you ever see when Shambles hit that homer?
Chris Shambles, yes.
You see how
he knocked down people going to first base.
He was like a fullback. I mean, it was a bomb.
Imagine that today. Oh, my God.
I mean, here's another thing. Game six, there's 16,000 people in the arena and 65,000 people outside the arena?
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
Yeah. Milwaukee was on fire.
And the people say it could have been, that number, some people saying could have been low.
Yeah.
How'd I get out the arena?
Right. People been inside too long. People trying to get outside after this past year.
Were you impressed with, from what I've seen personally in basketball, to me that was the best finals performance I've ever seen. The most dominant with by Giannis. That 50 points, 17 boards, 5 block shots. I mean, on both ends of the floor. Offensively, defensively, I've never seen somebody put in that much energy.
He's doing work
to deliver for their team.
I know they're world champions, but sometimes they be doing stuff like WTF. And coaching, I mean, like, I'm glad they won. Yeah, but look, I want to, you know, Chris.
I want to go CP3, yeah.
But I wanted a game seven, but it wasn't meant to be, and the best team won. You know, it's no debate about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got the draft coming up.
Yes, sir.
Orange Blue Skies, we're back, baby. We're back.
Yes, sir. Spike Lee in the building. Spike, one more thing. Yeah. We got a mutual friend in Chuck D. It's his birthday on Sunday. He's turning 61. He just texted me yesterday.
Chuck D.
He's going to be watching this. Do you have a message for Chuck?
Chuck, what's up? This is Spike representing the People's Republic of Brooklyn, New York. You know I love you. We made history together.
That's right.
Love you. Happy birthday.
Thanks again, Spike.
Peace and love.
Thanks, Spike.
All right.
Thank you very much, Spike.
But,
the legendary Spike Lee, ladies and gentlemen,
next.
Hit that thumbs
Orange
up.
Orange Blue Skies. Let's go.
Absolutely. So we're actually live right now, Spike.
Yeah,
we're doing this live.
Live?
Yeah, this
live and direct.
All right, NBA draft Thursday. What are we going to do?
I like
what
this
gonna
kid.
Do?
I like Trey Murphy out of Virginia, Spike. 6'9", can shoot three.
I mean, I wasn't really following college basketball because of the, you know, what was happening in the world, but I believe that Leon Rose, Coach Tibbs,
Wes,
and our brother Worldwide Wes, we're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
So, as I said before, sir, it's going to be a combination,
combination
of trades and draft picks.
We got 50 million plus
and,
in the bank.
And cap space.
We got 50 million. Because
you tried to get on me about, you can't do nothing with the draft, see?
You can, but it's going to take another
start. I think the draft
said a combination.
Foundation. You have to start with the draft, build that foundation up. We haven't built our farm, our young core up to the point where
to sustain. We could have had Donovan Mitchell.
Could have had Donovan Mitchell.
Don't remind me.
So,
Frank.
So.
Mikal Bridges, Michael Porter Jr.
I didn't want to name Golden on the list, so.
Yeah.
We could have had. We had it. We had the picks at the spot. And
Rose we trust now. This is it.
Yeah.
Big draft ahead. A lot of picks.
What do you think about Obi, Spike, with the whole Randall situation? What do you think about Obi?
What situation?
I feel like with Obi coming off the bench,
he's supposed to start?
But we're never going to see him finish a game, Spike. He can't play center.
How's he going to start?
That's what I'm asking you. What do you think? Because I feel like with Randall,
he's a rookie. He got bad run during the playoffs.
No, he did.
He was better in the playoffs than he was in regular
season.
Really
he
did. Yeah.
Right?
He lit up the Garden.
He
couple alley oops.
He came alive.
Here's the thing,
though. Defensively or offensively.
I'm with them. You know, we get some, you know. As I said before, whether it's Dame time or whoever it is, I just hope that we trade everybody to get somebody, then we have nobody else.
Right,
so that's
right, right.
Because the star players, unless they're free agents, they're not just going to walk.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to get something up.
Yeah.
It helps we have a lot of draft picks like we do.
Yeah. True story.
We'll see Thursday night.
Thursday night. We'll see what happens. So will you be at Barclays? Will you be there?
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right.
It's 4 blocks from my office.
Yeah. We'll look out for you,
I'll be
Spike.
Rapping.
We'll look out
All right,
you,
thank
man.
You, guys.
Thanks
again, Spike. Right, much appreciated, man.
Appreciate
it was an honor.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. The great Spike Lee, ladies
Enjoy
and gentlemen.
Enjoy the event. Enjoy your lunch.
Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Spike, just watch your step with the courts. All right.
It's like our own courtside experience here, man. With Spike. How about
watch,
that?
Watch your step there, Spike. Spike Lee, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think? Hit that thumbs up button for you boys, man.
This man has made some classics. Yeah. Like, this man has made some of the all-time
absolute
great
classics,
movies.
Man. Absolute classics. That was a dream interview for me. It's an honor to have him here. At Clyde's Wine and Dine, man, and we made it through. I don't know, Jake, you haven't known, man, but the system has been glitching out on me for, like, the past, like, 2 weeks. Yeah. You know, it's been very, very fragile, but we made it through the Spike interview, working on updating some equipment. If you work at the Apple store, holler at your boy. I need a discount. Take care of me, friends and family, because I got to reboot the system here. We were able to get through the Spike interview. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll take some calls.
The system knew that Spike was coming. The system saw it. Said, Spike, quick.
That's a fact.
Spike's awesome, man. Yeah. Like, he knows the game, and I loved hearing about him as a fan at 13 and remembering being there and how loud the Garden was because sometimes I forget what I had for lunch yesterday. And then this guy, you remember
memories,
those things?
Yeah,
like, I'll remember a certain Met game I went to in 2000, the year they made the World Series.
Yeah.
And he remembers 1970.
Those memories stick with you, man.
Interesting. I didn't know he was a Met fan, too. He was a Met fan then. He switched to the Yankees.
Yeah,
so.
He switched up. He casually switched up a little bit. He was a Mets fan.
I will admit, and I will admit this on record, that in 98 I was a Yankee fan first because my family was, and then made the switch to the Mets. So I was the opposite of Spike with the switch
up.
So I
love
Jeter.
You made the switch to the Mets after the Jeter days.
My life was good and then became miserable, but it was good at the start because the Mets made the playoffs, made the World Series, and then everything downhill after 2000. They were just terrible.
See, I figured you're 30, right? So I figured like that the Met fan of the 80s during the Strawberry Gooden era, Keith Hernandez, would then switch to the Yankees when the Mets were no longer really relevant. But you went opposite.
Yeah, it's weird because I was from Queens originally, moved to Connecticut, and when I moved to Connecticut, I became the Met fan. So when I was in Queens, for the 1 year, liked the Yankees.
Yeah.
And I had the Scholastic Book Fair, if you remember those.
Yeah, of course.
Had a Derek Jeter poster, you know, the lit pencil cases, all the cool posters. And then a friend of mine in Connecticut ruined my life. But, hey, I'm happy now. The Mets are right now better than the Yankees
man. Yanks are in trouble, man. It's all Boone. I'm not a big Boone guy, to be honest with you. I didn't think they should have ever gotten rid of Girardi. I didn't see what the haste was to get rid of Girardi. Boone gave us history. He gave us moments as a Yankee fan, obviously. But, like, I didn't see what the big big deal was with him as a manager.
There's always a change. It's not like football where like the Steelers have like three coaches in their history.
Right.
There's always like, all right, we need to change for the sake of change.
Yeah.
Well, now they're changing because Aaron Boone is stunk.
He stinks.
So this is his contract's up after this year. So the Yankees aren't big fans of in-season firing. So I think they are 100% CP moving on from him in the offseason.
I think they should, man. And again, it's no offense to him. I just don't see the hype. I don't see the hype. This Yankee team is just missing something, man. They don't have the edge. They don't have the character, the grit that they used to have. Certain players have it. I like Urshela. I liked LeMahieu when he first came. He's been struggling in and out a little bit. Obviously, you got to like Garrett Cole and some of the guys in the bullpen, but I just think it's too much micromanaging. Like
analytics.
Yeah, the other day that you had Herman, 93 pitches. He gives up one hit in Boston, loses the no-hitter in the eighth inning. In the eighth inning, and they take him out.
And then after the game, Aaron Boone said he was entering the danger zone.
Come on,
I thought it was
man.
A Kenny Loggins song.
Yeah.
I'm like, danger zone? 93 pitchers in the danger zone?
Come
on, they used to throw 130. Johan threw 135 in his no-hitter.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
And then he couldn't throw again, so maybe it killed him.
Absolutely
but,
did, man.
It's the orange and blue year. You know, the Mets are good. The Islanders nearly made the finals.
Yep.
And our Knicks are back to relevancy.
Hopefully, Thursday night draft. So, to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Let me know how the audio is. Let me know how the video is. And we're back.
Okay, we're back.
Yeah,
and,
hey,
shameless plug, if you are a Mets fan, I do co-host Amazing But True podcast.
No doubt.
With Nelson Figueroa, the former Men Emmy Award winner. So, check it out.
Yeah, so salute to Nelson Figueroa. Salute to Nelson Figueroa. So, what, the Mets are sitting in, first place?
Three
in
and a half
league?
Games up right now.
Okay.
Yankees, I believe, are, four out of the wild card, something like
probably,
that?
Probably, yep.
So, it's good times right now. We'll see. Trade deadline Friday. You know, draft Thursday with NBA.
Yeah.
And then trade deadline baseball. This is a monster sports week.
Monster sports
Olympics. Week, can Team USA win a freaking game? Like, what the hell is going on?
Listen, I think the thing with Team USA is a couple things.
Okay, Clyde's Wine and Dine. After a few years away. I've come here for a few Knicks games. I've been on a date here. I think nice. The Knicks tickets might have been too expensive, and I came here, watched the game on a date. A little cheaper than a Knicks ticket to get the girl a salad and me a steak or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Good food selection here. Clyde loves when you shout it out, so we got to give a shout out to Clyde's Wine and Dine and the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation.
Absolutely.
Does a terrific job for the youth and youth programs and underprivileged communities and underprivileged children. So shout out to Dr. Barnett. Call him doctor, because if you don't, he'll let you know.
Definitely.
He is doctor.
Definitely put some respect on his name. And before we got cut out, what I was saying with Team USA is I feel like, number one, the competition is caught up. We are, just to reset, we are live and direct from Clyde's Wine and Dine, the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation, Lunch with Legends. We just heard from Spike Lee earlier. You guys caught that interview. We also heard from Bill Hoskett, one of the members of the 1970 championship team. And we were in the process of talking about Team USA basketball. They lost their preliminary opener against France without Frank Ntilikina. So they were a bit nervous, you know, with Frank looming large, but they still lost that game. I was just saying that, number one, I think international competition has caught up just over the years. Modern medicine, sports medicine, analytics is just, you know, caught up from a global scale. And I also think it's a pride thing. You know, some of these guys from these countries, the Olympics, that's their championship. That's everything for them. And it's not to say that these Team USA guys aren't playing with pride, but you got to think, there's so much more responsibilities that these guys have that in their mind, in some of their mind, is more important than playing in the Olympics, right? Their team, coming back healthy for their team, coming back healthy for their next max contract, the sneaker deals. There's just way more responsibilities that these guys have, and I just don't think it's a top-of-mind priority for them.
The guys overseas, you just picture them slapping the floor, rolling their sleeves
hungry,
up, their shorts up on every defensive possession.
Yeah.
And in these games, it comes down to defense when it's that intense.
Right.
For them, where Team USA is going through, KD's like, come on, I just dropped a 50-piece on the world champions.
Right.
Or 49, if you know. One more point may have made a difference. But,
You
know, they look at it a lot different. Like you said, there's other distractions for them where this is everything for these guys. So, And they said, who is it that said, like, it's different competition over there? One of the USA players said.
I think it's Dame.
Dame said, they were like, this is a different animal for us. Which you're thinking, like, come on, you guys are Team USA. So it's hard to explain, but hopefully they right the ship here and turn it around.
Another thing, if you look at just me looking at this French team and following Frank with them for past World Cup and Olympics as well, they have chemistry. A lot of these guys have played together before. Batum, Fournier, Frank. They have Poirier, who made it to the NBA, hasn't played too much, but in France, in the FIBA games, he's a nice, you know, low post player. And so I think a lot of these teams have a lot of chemistry as well, whereas U.S. it's like, all right, let's bring this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and expect for them to gel. It takes some time.
It takes time to gel, and we saw it with the Heat, with the super team. I mean, they didn't win their first year. We said automatic bet on them to win.
Yeah.
This year, Nets, Lakers, what did the Nets do? I mean, they were hurt, but still, they had their struggles when they played together. So it takes more than, all right, here's 2 weeks of a bunch of superstars. Let's make it happen. Like you said, these guys have been competing years for this.
Yep.
They've been waiting for this moment, and this is their spotlight moment. Some of these guys we have never heard of. We may never hear of again.
Yep.
But now you heard of them, and bonjour, monsieur.
Yeah.
A tout à l'heure. Yeah. We'll see you later.
You better get hungry, man. You better step your game up, because these guys are not playing around. So we'll see. I think, you know, we'll still be all right. We'll still be in decent shape. But they just got to get it together, because there are a lot of good teams in this thing. Not just France. You have Spain, who's always plays tough. You have Argentina, who always plays tough. Luka Doncic is now with Slovenia, and he's killing it. I think he just dropped like 50 points against Argentina. So there's a lot of parity in this Olympics. So they're not just gonna lay down. You know, they're not just going to lay down. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Appreciate everybody for sticking through us through the technical difficulty. CP here, my guy Jake Brown, executive producer of New York Sports Podcast as well. We are here live from Clyde's Wine and Dine here in New York City at the Dr. Dick Barnett and Friends Lunch with Legends. So we're going to wait and see who else we'll have a chance to talk to. We just had a chance to talk to Bill Hoskett, member of the 70 championship team, and the legendary Spike Lee. If you guys missed the Spike Lee interview, go ahead and rewind it and go back to it, because it was a great time with Spike.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We actually got a tweet in CP that OKC is willing to trade SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, really? But it would take a lot to get
it's going to take a hole. It's going to take a hole. That would be it's going to take a hole, but I would love to have him. Man.
Yeah. You know,
they missed out on him on the draft, and so. Oh, okay. Yeah, we missed out on him on the draft, and, you know, again, no offense to Knox. That was my guy, too, but there, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a young upstart point guard who'll be a problem in the league. And, you know, listen, Sam Presti is a shrewd GM. He's not just going to let him go for nothing. But there was a rumor that he offered Shai Gilgeous and the number 6 pick to Detroit for number 1 and got turned down. So, you know, OKC, even with a bevy of draft capital, it's going to take a lot to get that number 1 pick.
I wish it would take just like Knox in a first-round pick. Yeah. Can it be that easy for us? Can we just give Knox in 1 or 2 first-round picks and bring him in here?
That could be that
easy. Not enough, right?
That could be that easy. Dave, let me know if we have people on the lines. I'll open up the phone lines and see who wants to call in. If you guys want to call in on draft, free agency, off-season, whatever the case may be. Just some previews for the content coming up. Thursday, we will have our draft show live on Knicks Fan TV all night. You know, we'll go through each pick. We'll see who the Knicks select. Do they make a trade, as rumored, or do they stand pat with all 4 picks and select players? So be sure to catch that. And then right into free agency. Sunday, we'll have our top 10, top 20 free agents list. We'll have a free agency live stream. And then Monday, August 2nd, free agency kicks off. And we'll see what happens, Jake. From what we've heard, and shout out my guy Ian Begley from SNY, the Knicks are looking to be, responsible in this couple upcoming free agency. They're looking at 2022 as that opportunity to spend big. So it looks like they'll be frugal as they were this past offseason, where, you know, they'll have their targets, but I don't think they're necessarily going to overspend for certain guys. So
they won't spend like a drunken sailor, but, you know, there are intriguing names, whether it's DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, it seems like he might stay, but, you know, the Knicks are going to make him an offer.
Right.
He might stay with Phoenix, and you can't blame him. He's got a chance to win an NBA championship there, where here it might take a couple of years. You know, there's Evan Fournier's out, Patty Mills, Lonzo Ball is a name.
Yeah.
We'll have LeVar courtside sitting next to Spike. That's a reality show in itself. Ball in the Family takes on New York
takes
City.
Takes on Spike.
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
MSG needs to get all that ASAP, man.
Yeah,
MSG needs to get all that ASAP.
That'll follow the Kardashian special on the E! Channel.
Yeah.
But, there, you know, DeRozan, there's a Norm Powell. Redick is a name. Lou Williams, if you want to look at the B-tier, C-tier. Dennis Schroeder. So there's some guys out there on the market that won't cost you $30 million.
I like Norman Powell, man.
Yeah.
If you love listening to us here on Knicks Fan TV, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about our favorite team, then make your voice heard in Hustle. Acceptance to the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check the description box in this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join. So as we segue here to the next interview, we have another member of the championship team. He goes by Mike Reardon, a member of the Minutemen, came off the bench for the 70 championship team. Mike, how are you? Nice to meet you. CP from Knicks Fan TV, how are you?
Jake Brown, good to meet you. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, Mike.
All right, great to be here. It's been a while.
Yeah. So as I introed you in, you were a member of the legendary Minutemen coming off the bench for that 70s team. What did you feel like your role was in terms of just supporting these guys on their championship run?
Yeah, I mean, I was third guard, kind of getting about 20, 25 minutes a game, coming in for Clyde and Dick Barnett. And so I would swing between either the point guard or the off guard, and I would try to take the best scores to keep those guys out of foul trouble. And I knew I wasn't going to be playing 40 minutes, so I didn't have to worry about fouling out. So I would just try to move the ball, play good defense, and we ran a lot of plays. We ran a lot of movements. We were a good passing team. So I just tried to fit in. And being a native New Yorker, myself and John Warren were the two locals, we were just so thrilled to take a run at a championship season and then bring home a ring.
That had to have been extra special, and we talked about it early on with Bill, that the Mets win, the Jets win, and then you guys win. And you being a Queens guy and a New Yorker, you must have been on cloud nine in 1970 when you guys completed the trifecta.
Oh, I mean, it was unbelievable because the Knicks up to that time, since I've been a young kid here in town, were awful. Mm-hmm. And putting things together and on the rise and getting good draft picks with Eddie Donovan and Red Holzman, putting things together, we could see which way it was going. And when we made that trade for Dave DeBuscher, it kind of solidified three positions. Willis went back into the hole. Dave was the power forward, and Clyde took over running the club. So all the chemistry was solid right after that point. And we had a good playoff run. We lost to the Celtics, but we knew we were all coming back. And it was just a Cinderella season as far as we had a good win streak there. I think we won 16 or 17 in a row that year. And so it was basically the highlight of anything I had ever done in basketball during that time and since. Because we weren't concerned, no one was concerned with individual honors or stats. We were just zeroed in on winning a championship, and there's no feeling like it.
What was it like going up against Clyde and Dr. Barnett in practice? Did you feel like that kind of prepared you for some of the other, you know, legends of the game when you had to guard them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those guys were two of the best guards in the league, great guard tandem, and our practices got pretty heated, too, because we were – the guys on the Minutemen, we try to push the starters severely. And sometimes, you know, they weren't into it. Sometimes they were trying to take it. But when we got into it, start talking trash to them and knocking them down, they knew that, hey, we were going to finish up on a roll here. So I think it prepared us for games. And we had a very predictable routine as far as substitutions goes, other than people getting in foul trouble or injuries. But Cassie, Dave Stallworth, myself, Nate Bowman, and then we had a fifth for Bill Hoskett or Johnny Warren. And the practices were pretty close. And we think that has got a lot to do with preparing a team for the last 4 to 6 minutes of a game.
All right, Mike, spill the beans. How many fights went on in these practices? Were the punches thrown, anything?
No.
No TMZ there?
No, nothing like that. Just some bad looks at times. Yeah. And said, what was that? And we all were on the same page, but it never elevated to that. It just came down to words. No one swung on each other. And afterwards, it was all buried because we were like a family. I mean, you guys had family fights,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
And then next thing you know, you're eating dinner with everybody,
right?
You ever joke with Earl that because you were part of the trade that got Earl here, so shouldn't you get the second ring too? Don't you get another ring?
I just reminded him of that. Okay. I said, you know, hey, Earl, you wouldn't have got that second ring without me.
Yeah.
And but then I also said something to him kidding around. He said, are you still living down in Maryland? And I said, yeah. And I told him where I was. I said, hey, Earl, you know, you got more fans down in Maryland than you do in New York. In other words, he was the man down there.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Where here, he was another star.
Right, mm-hmm.
But he wasn't the man here.
Right.
Right? So he nodded and said, you got that right.
That's funny. Well, Mike, we're getting the cue here.
All right.
It was an honor to speak to you. Thank you very much for joining
us. Nice talking to you guys. All right.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Absolutely. Enjoy the lunch. That's Mike Reardon, a member of the Minutemen, the Championship Knicks.
Queens native, baby. Queens native. In the house.
Queens,
let's
stand
go.
Up.
Stand up,
you're
Queens.
From Queens. Leave it in the chat, man. Mike Reardon. Thanks again, Mike.
If you're from Astoria, really leave it in the chat, as I'm the self-proclaimed king of Astoria here.
Salute.
So, Queen, stand up. Mike, that was awesome. He deserves the second ring for bringing it early. Because Earl and Clyde, that is one of the most iconic backcourts to ever do it.
No, Mike Reardon is definitely beloved by a lot of New Yorkers. Shout out my guy Fred from Fresh Meadows. I was talking to him about coming here and just preparing for everything. He was like, Mike Reardon was that guy. You know, Mike Reardon was that guy.
Shout out Fresh Meadows. Great movie theater there.
Yeah,
AMC
The AMC there is nice, man. Right off the LIE. So salute to everybody in Queens. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. We're going to take some calls in a second. I want to shout out the Super Chats that have come in. Shout out my guy Alan Berman for the Super Chat. Never misses a show. Alan, I appreciate that. Got you open. Big time Twitch streamer. He says, salute. Smash that thumbs up button. Yeah, that's right, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. I see my guy Tyson Miller. What's going on? Daniel Marrero, how you feeling? If you guys are new in the chat, leave us a hashtag new. We'll shout you guys out. And, we will.
Love the energy around July 27th around the Knicks right now.
Yeah.
For us, for people in the chat, for people watching.
A lot of energy.
A lot of passion right now for a Knicks team that has a bright future. Yeah. And it's fun to look back on these teams because we weren't alive. So to learn from these guys, to hear Bill talk about covering Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
I mean, I love those conversations. I've talked with a lot of old guys. You know, we talked with George Gervin, the Iceman.
The Iceman.
A few months ago. And to hear, you know, about the 60s and 70s teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had told us that, you know, they offered for him to go to the Lakers on those 80s dynasty teams. And he said, no, I don't want to be part of those super teams. I want to beat those teams. And that's a big
conversation. The Iceman was not ring chasing.
Yeah.
Iceman was not ring chasing.
He could have won with those guys.
Wow.
And he said, nah, I'm going to stay with the Spurs and try to beat them.
That's
so
dope.
It was a different era, the 60s, 70s, 80s versus today, where now everyone's joining the Stars to try to win a title.
Yeah, that's interesting indeed, man. And let me just get the phones going real quick. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. So as you were saying, when we were prepping, you were saying that there was rumors that the Knicks were trying to trade up to 14 with Golden State in the draft.
They turned it down, I think.
And they turned it down. Yep. Very interesting. But I thought, you know, doing the draft prep, I thought that was going to be the sweet spot for the Knicks in terms of moving up. They have 19 and 21. I didn't see them being able to move up into, the tens range. Mm-hmm. You have Orlando sitting there with 6 and 8 or 5 and 8, I believe. I didn't think the Knicks were even going to get up to 8 unless they're going to add on more assets. And I don't think they're going to do that. So 14 is definitely the sweet spot. Now it just depends on who's going to be there.
I don't know if this is the draft to trade up. Like I said before, this isn't the best draft class, and these are guys. You know, another name that they're talking about the Knicks could have their target on, you said Trey Murphy, Sharif Cooper out of Auburn, but this is a guy who played 12 games as a freshman. I mean, he's had no experience.
It's
and I know you don't need, you know, there was guys that came out of high school that became stars. That's not a thing anymore.
Five
but
5 seconds. Four.
Yeah, I just don't think this is the greatest draft class.
Yeah, a lot of mock drafts have them going with Cooper out of Auburn. You know, undersized point guard, but a playmaking wizard. And you know, as much as I see the Knicks benefiting from some off-ball scoring, I also think a guy that, you know, is prolific in the passing game could help us as well. I just felt like there were a lot of times when you had Julius Randle stuck in isolation and just trying to do too much, especially in the playoffs when things got bogged down. I just felt like we don't have any guys that can get us some easy buckets in the pick and roll. Get Julius a nice pick and pop situation. I mean, D-Rose did his thing for a second, but I think there's areas where Cooper can help now. The shooting is going to be the swing skill. Mm-hmm. Can he shoot? Because right now, it wasn't too good at college, and so
they need
we'll
shooters.
See what happens,
you know,
there,
man. The 3-point goal, Reggie Bullock. Yep. We don't know if he's going to be back, but they need a three. They need a strong shooting small forward. Maybe JJ Redick on a 1-year deal is that guy. But
could be
a shooter.
You know, Tibbs has a proclivity for vets, and so that could be an option there. Let's go to the phones. Let's hear from some people.
Let's do it.
Let's hear from Chris from Yonkers. Chris, how you feeling, man? CP and JK, how you feeling, bro?
Hello?
Yo, how you doing, Chris?
You hear me?
Yep,
I'm doing good. I hope you guys are doing good.
Yeah.
I am a longtime listener, first-time caller. And my point I just want to say about the draft is I think Trey Mann is the right pick just because, I mean, what do the Knicks need the most? We need scores.
Yeah.
Besides playmakers, we need scores. Yeah. And he's a guy that can just put the ball in the basket, and it's the right option for me. And I just wanted to talk about one thing real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if I could just talk about the Colin Sexton thing real quick.
Sure.
And here's my thing. My thing is I see a lot of Knicks fans, like, hating on it. But the thing is we need to get better. And we're not going to – we can get better from the draft. The draft is the right thing that we need to build from.
Mm-hmm.
But the draft is a risk, just like the Colin Sexton trade is a risk. So at the end of the day, they're both risks. And I think it's kind of a 50-50 that I think that wouldn't really hurt us. But then again, if we don't make any trades, we're not getting better. It's not like every draft pick is going to hit.
Right, right.
So yeah. I think it's kind of a 50-50 move, in my opinion, that I don't think Knicks fans should really be against it, but I can understand. Because it's not like he's just some inefficient scorer. The man shoots about 48% from the field. He can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, and you're right. Appreciate the call, Chris. Listen, when we talk about shot creators I was a bit hesitant or a bit skeptical of the Sexton trade just because I, like many Knicks fans, Jake, I have trade and free agency PTSD, bro. Everything that we do never works out when it comes to those things. So I have that. I'm always skeptical. Like, I don't know. He doesn't use his right hand. He doesn't pass it. But you look at Sexton now, 22 years old, averaged 24 points per game in the second season, or I think it's the third season with Cleveland.
Although they had to have a score. I mean, that team was so bad that
someone
had to do it. So that's not knocking his skill. He's obviously a terrific player. But someone's got to put up the stats. Someone's got to that's what Kevin Love was, the stats sheet stuffer there. So I think there's good free agent point guards out there where I'm not ready to trade the world for Sexton. I'm trading the world for Damian Lillard. Like, listen, if the Knicks got Lillard and say they gave up Barrett, obviously fans are going to be mad. But then there's going to be the side of, holy, you know what, Damian Lillard is a New York Knick. So that's a guy that you trade for. I'm not in love with trading for Sexton, depending on what the package is. But
I think it depends on the trade. Yeah. Depends on the trade. I think if you're looking at pairing off one of your picks and, you know, maybe an Obi and Knox, again, I feel like I like Obi a lot. And as Spike said, he came on well in the playoffs. But I just feel like that's an asset that you're never going to realize, you know, the full potential of it because Randle is going to be blocking him. So I just feel like if you have somebody that can upgrade you from a starting lineup perspective and overall team, you know, as just having a score, it might not be a deal that wouldn't be too bad to roll the dice on.
Robinson Knox first-round pick for Sexton.
No.
No?
No, I'm not trading Mitch.
Really?
I'm not right now.
You're saying
not
Mitch
right
is
now.
Untouchable.
No, not untouchable. I'm not trading Mitch for Sexton, though.
Okay.
I'm still a Mitch guy, man. That's my guy. Blackness is my guy.
I need some time on Mitch. I don't know. I think the injuries bother me. I think he's got to bulk up a lot.
Sure.
He's been injury prone a lot.
Sure.
We see in the practices or whatever videos he posts he can make the three, but otherwise he's a block and a dunk guy.
Yeah.
And listen, he's so
still
young. He's still growing. He's still raw.
Yeah.
But if it was Knox, Mitch, first round pick, I might not
I don't
say
know,
no.
Man.
Knox is a throw-in because you're paying him $6 million.
Yeah.
he's you know, 11th, 12th man.
Kev, I can see, man. Mitch, I don't know. What do you guys think in the chat, man? What do you guys think? What Jake was proposing?
It might be three first-round picks and Knox.
My man in the back is saying, hell no. What do you guys think? Thumbs up, thumbs down for what Jake is proposing. Would you throw
People are going to be mad at me now.
Mitch. Oh, watch your Twitter. Your Twitter mentions are going to blow up, man. The chat is feisty today. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Hospi, what's going on?
But again, I'd still rather go free agency. Like, if you gave me the option to trade for Sexton or sign Lonzo Ball, I'm signing Lonzo Ball depending on the price, even though, again, the reality show that's going to come with it.
Right.
I'd rather get the guy for $20 million a year than the trade.
Selling out assets. Yeah, for sure. And now we're seeing with the trade that Memphis and New Orleans made yesterday, the Lonzo situation could tilt one way or the other to the Knicks because with the Pelicans trading Eric Bledsoe, trading Steven Adams and the 10th pick to the Grizzlies for basically Jonas Valanciunas and the 17th pick, Pelicans have freed up some cap space. Rose and Zach Lowe are saying that they want Lowry, but does it make it easier for them to keep Lonzo as a restricted free agent in the event that he goes and signs a deal?
What do you think about Lonzo? What are your general thoughts? Is he going to get better? Has he reached his peak? Is he going to be a star in this league?
I don't know if he's going to be a star, but I think as a young player, I think there's always room for growth. You know, look at Giannis. Look how long it took him to become a megastar on the stage. It took him a good 7 years. Right? He came in 2013, so it took about 8 years to really come into his own. But every year he took gradual steps. With Lonzo, I think there's things that he could do for us right now that can help us. Number one, he can defend. You know, he's tall. He can defend well. Number two, he can hit the three. He was very, very efficient from the corners, which is an area that Tom Thibodeau likes to emphasize on the court. Number two, he can get us out in transition. You know, he can push the pace for us, push the tempo. I feel like we have a lot of guys on our team, namely R.J. Barrett, Mitchell Robinson, and Obi, who would excel in transition. And having a guy that can get them the ball out there and get them going and get them some easy buckets, I think Lonzo can help there. Now, Thibodeau values point guards who can put pressure on the rim. That's not Lonzo's game, at least right now. From what we see, that's not his game. So I got to see how Tibbs feels about him. But for me, I would take him if we don't have to. I don't like paying twice. So I don't like, even with the second thing, I don't like trading and then having to sign a guy. You know what I mean? Especially like Lonzo, who's probably going to be more of a role player than a potential star on your team.
What would you pay Lonzo? Like, I'm thinking he gets $20 million. He's going to be asking for 25 to 30.
Yeah, I think 20 million? Because if you look at – I look at a Brogdon who's making about 17, 18. So you figure Lonzo's going to get a raise. Market value is going to go up. So I think 20's fair for him.
Three years, $60 million maybe? 5 years, $100 million?
I think that could be the range. I think that could be the range. You know, I think that could be the range. So – we'll see. You know, we definitely have options. Again, will David Griffin and the Pelicans go out and match a deal if Lonzo goes out and sign it? How much are they into Lowry? You're hearing things for Lowry like $25, $30 million a year for 2 years.
I'm hesitant.
Even for the Knicks. For the Knicks. I'm very hesitant on that. You know, very hesitant on that. So
he's 35. You know, you sign him for a 4 year deal. He's going to 39, 40.
I would only go two. Well, if I'm the Knicks, I don't know what the Pelicans are thinking. If I'm the Knicks, I would only go 1-1.
If it's 2 years, I'm not totally against it. But if you give him 4 years, he's going to 40 years old. No chance.
Yeah, I'm walking. I'm walking, man. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Big Drake, how you feeling, Big Drake? Salute to Double O Gigolo. All right, Double O Gigolo in the
Big
chat.
Big Drake and Double O Gigolo. Two iconic usernames.
Iconic names in the chat, man. Justin Archer, how you feeling? Let's get those likes up. Hit that thumbs up button. Just to reset, we are live at Clyde's Wine and Dine. They are doing a Legends Lunch hosted by the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation. So it's for a good cause. We've left a link. They're having a silent auction. We've left a link in the video description. If you guys want to participate, get some exclusive Knicks merchandise, please participate in the silent auction. All the proceeds go to the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation, so it's going to a good cause. We'll get a chance to hear from him sometime. They're eating lunch right now, and they have a program going on. So
I'm trying to eat some lunch right now. I'm getting hungry too. A lot of talking. Yeah, we got water, but I need a couple chicken fingers over here or something.
Yeah, a couple chicken fingers.
McDonald's fries? I don't know.
Yeah, man. Mix and match.
On the foundation, CP, their mission, the Dr. Richard Barnett Foundation inspires the youth to chase their dreams and empowers them to get there. A core part of that mission is to support more and better pathways to higher education, especially elevating opportunities and leveling the playing field for historically underrepresented students and HBCUs. So that's their mission. Great cause.
Yeah, great cause, man. As a graduate of HBCU myself, I definitely see the need to continue to help funding these institutions, man, because it's very important. So back to the phones we go. Let's go to Ron is up next. Ron from New York. How you feeling, Ron?
I'm blessed, and I hope y'all blessed as well.
Doing well, man. Thanks, bro.
That's what's up. So I wanted to get your opinion, because right now I feel like I'm hearing the same names over and over of who we might pick. Mm-hmm. And I really think the only thing we should do is either go after Kelly Oubre, Kyle Kuzma, or Saxton for salary purposes. Mm-hmm. Other than that, stand pat, because it looks like it's going to be a war room trade day thing going on for every team.
Yeah.
And we're in a good position right now. And so I just want to get y'all opinion, what y'all think about that, just standing pat, seeing what we got, you know, what kind of offers is out there. And if we do put anybody on the table, only throw draft picks, Obi, and Knox. That's it. Throw them on the table and see what happens. What y'all think?
And appreciate the call, man. I'm not a big Oubre guy, bro. Yeah, I don't know about you, man. I'm not a big Oubre guy. From what I, you know, I spoke to some Warriors fans who, you know, felt like his defense is okay, but offensively, from what I've seen from him in his career, too much of a chuck, man. Just too erratic. I think, yeah, he may be a good Nick, because we have a lot of those guys over the years, but I wouldn't shell out money.
I think his fashion game might be better.
His
might
fashion
work
game
in
would
New York
fit
City.
In, yeah. His
you
fashion
know, the,
game would fit
there'll
in.
There'll be a lot more ladies at the Garden if Kelly Oubre is here, I'll say that. Yeah. But just like if Chris Bryan came to the Mets, people love Chris Bryan. The ladies love Chris Bryan.
Yeah.
That would be Kelly Oubre. Not in love with him. Just I don't think I wouldn't pay him. He hasn't proven enough to me to pay him big money.
Yeah.
So
I'd rather go in the draft and find a guy. If they move up, I'd find a guy like a Kispert, or if they get a Trey Murphy. I feel like those guys can help and fill that void. Yeah. Yes, Oubre can give you some shot creation here and there. I agree with that. I don't think I would allocate funds to bring him in here.
I would take Kyle Kuzma over Oubre, and he's probably going to cost
cheaper.
You less. Kuzma will make $13 million, 21 for the next 3 years. He'll make $13 million a year, which is not terrible for a guy who puts up, what, 13 to 15 points a game.
Yeah.
Can make the three ball. Not in love with Kyle Kuzma either, but if you put gun on my head, you say pick one of them, I'm taking Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, I mean, Kuzma would be a lot cheaper. You know, he's another guy who's up and down in terms of the motor. You know, you just don't know if he has to play with a guy like a LeBron who can get him going. You know, if he comes to New York, and another guy who's high up on, you know, he's a younger guy. He's a young millennial. They like the trendy stuff and the fashion and the
another
Fortnite.
Fashion guy.
Yeah, it's like, are you locked in on the game? You know, are you really locked in on the game? So I'd rather go in the draft. And once again, we did hear that. Did Beckley put that up with the trade? Who's reporting that the trade that the Knicks did offer Golden State 19 and 21 and move up to 14?
That was Wasserman.
Okay. Shout out Jonathan Wasserman, Bleacher Report, former guest on the show. As Wasser said, the Knicks are trying to move up. They're trying to move up. I felt like 14 was their sweet spot just in terms of the assets that they're willing to give up this year. But it depends on what Golden State wants. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to figure maybe Golden State is looking to take 7 and 14 and try to go get a vet. Do they want to try to get Beal or go get Ben Simmons? Who knows? You know,
this is the year to do it, man. I think this is the year to trade picks and get a star. There's no better year than now. COVID shortened. Guys didn't play. You know, the competition was different. You know, you couldn't name half the teams in the NCAA tournament.
Right,
it was like, who the heck is playing?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Baylor win it.
This is maybe the first year ever I wasn't, like, locked in on the NCAA tournament because – there wasn't that when there's a year where you don't even know who the first pick is, that's alarming. Not saying these guys won't be good, but if there's a year to trade picks and get an established player, it's this year.
Well, you're seeing a lot of Cade Grant Hill comparisons with Cade, so we'll see, man. I think Detroit is going to be. I think they're playing chicken out there. I think they're going to go for him. You know, they've been saying they're not committal, but you hear that all the time in the draft. These guys, you know, quote unquote, not being locked in on a player, and that's because they're looking to sweeten the pot on a potential trade and be blown away from a blockbuster trade. But I think Detroit will end up taking Cade Cunningham at the end of the day. So, you know, if the Knicks were able to move up to 14, who would I target? I don't know if Moses Moody out of Arkansas. You got a nice swing man there. I'm not sure if he'd be available. Again, I'd be looking at a Kispert. I think Murphy. I think Murphy might have to be a target for them there, because from what I heard the Knicks are very high on Trey Murphy III out of Virginia.
They might be worried he might get picked before him. That's why they're trying. He might not be there at 19.
He might not be there. Yeah. He might not be there. So another guy who the Warriors worked at, they worked at Murphy twice, and they worked at Chris Duarte, senior out of Oregon. They worked him out twice. So it seems like Duarte is a guy that teams are valuing from a standpoint of a guy that is ready to play right now. He's 24 years old, same age as Devin Booker. Went through the JUCO system and then on to Oregon. But a guy that can give you some buckets from three, from two, from the mid-range right away in the NBA, off the pick and roll as well. So Duarte's a guy who guys figure that can come in, plug and play on a cheap deal, rookie contract, and give you some value right there. So he's a hot commodity in the mid-round.
I'm always a pro get a upperclassman. I don't know, something about it. Like when they could have got Bridges and they chose not to, I liked him. Junior, senior kind of player. I worry about the freshman, especially, like I keep saying, coming off that year.
Yeah.
A year where most teams didn't play the full schedule. You're going to have a guy play 12 games against little competition.
Right. Tibbs ain't
and
going
then
for that.
Play in the league and be a Tibbs starter coming off the bench. Tibbs doesn't want that.
I think Tibbs would value upperclassmen. I think you know, quickly coming in after 2 years at Kentucky helped him. I think Tibbs would value that. And I'm with you. I feel like the upperclassmen will come in with a bit more foundation, a bit more fundamentals, and be ready. You know, the 18-year-old, 19-year-old, sometimes is a crapshoot. Some will be ready, but some it may take some time to get them acclimated to the NBA game and the speed and the physicality and so on and so
forth. Isaiah Jackson's another guy. I always like Kentucky guys because it's Kentucky. But, again, we're talking about a freshman. So do they want to go that route? Some mocks have them going there.
Yeah.
I'll take a Kentucky guy over, you know, Bumble, you know, middle of nowhere, Idaho University.
Yeah.
But freshman, again, bothers me a little bit.
You know, and we talked about Mitch, but Isaiah Jackson is another guy. Shout out my guy, Derek Murray. He was a guest on the show. You guys know that in the chat. He felt like the Knicks are in on Isaiah Jackson. As you said, a lot of mocks have him going there as well. So it's I'll be curious to see if they come out of the draft with a big man, whether it's, you know, Isaiah Jackson or Charles Bassey out of Western Illinois. How do they feel about Mitch? Are they viewing these guys as potential starting replacements, or are they viewing them as, right now, backups? You know, backup to support.
You need multiple guys, need big multiple. Man. You need one off the bench. So I think they need a point guard and they need a center. The wingman, they'll probably address in free agency, whether that's DeMar DeRozan or someone else. But I think those first two picks should be a point guard and a center.
Yeah, I think the first pick, and somebody in the chat asked about Trey Mann. I don't think Trey Mann's going to go up at 14. I think if the Knicks stand pat, I think he's a legitimate option for them, and I would love for them to have Trey Mann because he's an absolute bucket getter out of Florida. So I think for me, I would like to go. There's a lot of nice combo guards, swingman available, whether it's Trey Mann. You have Jared Butler out of Baylor. You have Quentin Grimes out of Houston, who you can get later on in the draft. He's a nice bucket getter as well, can play some defense, which Tibbs would value. And then I'm going three. I'm going either Trey Murphy. Mm-hmm. I'm going Kispert if he's there. Some people like Zaire Williams out of Stanford. There's a lot of threes, you know, four hybrids that are there for the Knicks as well. So shooters. Give me some guys I can put together that can shoot.
Point guard, a shooter, and a center.
Yeah.
Those are the Knicks.
Give me some guys
that can basically
shoot.
Everything.
Yeah, basically everything. We need
one
talent.
Of everything.
We need talent.
Noah's Ark offseason. Yeah. We'll take two of everything.
Absolutely, man. Let's get back to the phones, man. One of my favorite guys to talk to around draft time. He claims draft time as his own, man. But during the season, we called him the Debbie Downer because of, you know, he was in the select minority that didn't want to see the Knicks winning all these games. You know what I mean? He goes by Jay from Florida. Jay, what's going on, bro?
Yeah, I'm back as Debbie Downer, live from the office, mid-work shift.
He's got his librarian voice on. He's in the office right now. What's good, bro?
Yeah. Mid-work shift. Listen, man, I'm sad, man. I'm looking at free to see, you know, Norman Powell.
Yeah.
Dennis Schroeder. You got these kind of guys. I mean, come on. How are we going to get better? Like, how are we going to get – people tell me the fourth seed was good. Good for who? Who was the fourth seed good for? For RJ? It's only good for RJ. Maybe Quick? Listen, we're pricing ourselves out of these draft picks that we want. We don't even know if we're getting Trey Murphy at 19, right?
Might
so
not.
What was the point of the fourth seed?
Might not.
We need talent. You say it all the time, CT, you know?
Yeah.
We need talent. You know, I like Jared Butler. I think Jared Butler got the full package. But we all know he got a heart issue. He got handle. He got a jump shot. He could pass it great defensively. But, I mean, you're talking about – 3-4 tier guys. We need blueprint guys. We need a real wing. We need a real point guard. We're out of that range. So how did we get there? The Warriors refused 14. They let that be known. Mm. Right. So how are we gonna get even further up to 9 and 12?
Yeah.
So we just in a bad spot, man. I'm sad, man. I don't know what we're doing. I don't want Norman Powell for $25 million a year. I don't know about the rest.
Jay, have some faith. Jay, have some faith, man. I mean, listen. It could very well turn out to be the offseason of rotational role players at the Knicks at the team, and that may not be a bad thing. You know what I mean? That may not be a bad thing, bro.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, but. Again, I'm looking for Jared Butler, Cameron Thomas, Jalen Johnson, something like that, 19, 21. Get a big. We don't need Isaiah Johnson at 19. You don't draft a big at 19.
I would pass, if we
hustling backwards, we picked Mitch, 3 years ago to go draft another big just like him? Sign Mitch to a little deal. Put Mitch as your starting five. You can go get JaVale or Willie Cauley-Stein. Somebody to just play spot minutes
with Mitch. Adequate
you don't draft him at 19.
I wouldn't necessarily go there. Appreciate you, man. Get back to work, man. We need you back.
Calling from the cubicle.
Man. You heard him, right? Yeah. He was like, yo, it's me, Debbie Downer. I'm back.
Might have been in the bathroom stall calling there.
Hey, that's how it goes down in Knicks Fan TV, man. Fans got to get it in. They got to be heard, and they got to hear what's going on. You know, like I was telling Jay, you don't know. Maybe at 19, they find a guy. They find lightning in the bottle. They get Trey Mann, and he turns into the next Dame. Who knows? Who knows? Or maybe they – I feel like at the very least they'll be able to get one or two players in the draft that can fit spots in the rotation, and they'll fill the rest of the voids in free agency. It may not be that splash, but it'll be something that can help move the needle.
The easiest thing would just be sign Kawhi Leonard. Like, can he just that would just solve all, you know,
solve all our
end
problems.
The show here. Mic drop. Yeah, just drop the mic.
Next
boom.
Time, Kawhi Leonard. Free agency's over.
And then do
Knicks
whatever. Happen, veteran minimums. Draft a couple guys, and the Knicks will again be a 4-seed, maybe better with Kawhi Leonard.
The ACL injury certainly set him back because now you don't even know when he's coming back.
Yeah.
You don't know when he's coming back. It could be he might not even come back next year. Who knows?
That's true.
With the ACL injury, so that was a big setback for Kawhi. And we'll just have to see from there. I think the biggest names you're going to look at is Cal Lowry, CP3. You know, they say the Suns owner is cheap. Who knows? Does CP3's got a player option for $40+ million? Is he going to bet on himself to get a multi-year deal around 30, says he'd take it back? I think Phoenix will take care of him, though.
I'm a little surprised he's not just going to take that. I know you want the multi-year deal, but if you believe in yourself, go out, get your $40 million, and then get another contract after that, because you're not getting $40+ million on a multi-year deal. If he gets a multi-year deal, it'll probably be 3 years 100, 3 years 90, something in that range. And God bless him if he gets any. He probably will, but I would have took the 40, 44, 45.
Take that 40. Yeah, I think it's 44, man.
Yeah.
I think it's 44. It's ridiculous. But I think he's earned it. You know, he completely turned that franchise around, brought him to the finals. I don't think he's going to get him there again, but he deserves to be taken care of by Robert Sarver and Phoenix for the job that he did this year, because I felt like CP3 had an MVP caliber year, even though the stats may not reflect it. I just felt like his overall impact in lifting that team up, can't be understated.
$44.2 million he'll make next year. He really put them over the top.
Yeah.
And he continues to defy the doubters, saying, "Oh, he's too old. Oh, I don't want to sign him. He's too old.
Yeah.
Well, they're not in the finals without him, and obviously they kind of collapsed there after the 2-0 lead, which shocked me. I was ready to do the guy, Suns in four. And then it was Bucks in four straight. So that took a twist for the worse for Phoenix. But he put them on the map in a city that was, starving for a team again. I mean, they couldn't win with Barkley, and they try to win with CP, and I think they're in good shape to go back next year.
Couldn't get there with Nash either.
Yeah. So they had multiple chances to get there. CP3 put them over the top. Obviously, Devin Booker developed and is a true superstar, one of the best players in the league. DeAndre Ayton continues to develop. So they got a good chance to be back next year. So I see no reason why he wouldn't come back. But if you want that New York spotlight, we'll give you some endorsements. We'll give you a billboard. We'll give you a statue. We'll give you, unlimited New York pizza for life. We'll give you Clyde. We'll give you Clyde wine and dine free whenever you want. So make it happen, CP3.
CP3, man. Well, I think he knows that New York Zoe can always be a backup plan for him. He chose Phoenix, he said, to play with Devin Booker. I also had read somewhere that, he's got family still in L.A. or his kids in L.A. still, so want to be a bit closer to them. So the Phoenix thing was a bit easier to digest. I never thought we had a legit shot at him last year, but who knows?
Do you think if he won the title, there would be a much more legit chance of him leaving? If he had won and then packed his bags and try and win somewhere else?
I don't think so, man. I felt like, again, just wanting to come here and play with Booker, I don't think he would. Just like I don't think he's going to go to the Lakers and ring chase. You know, people see him as a dirty cat player on the court, but I think he has a bit more integrity there where he would – I think he would stick it out.
Okay, so you thought he would go for a repeat if they had won?
Yeah, I think he would. I think he would. He would have to.
Everyone called him out for the calling the hot snitch hotline in the bubble. Poor CP3 is getting called a snitch like he's 6'9 out here. What is this?
Yeah, man. It's a cold world. And he's a Players Association president or executive, man. It's a
Where's
cold
the love
world,
for CP3? I want him to get one. Just, you know, such a long, illustrious Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
To not win a title, it just doesn't sit right in my NBA fan soul if he does not win one before he's
done. True story. I was rooting for him, but, you know, I couldn't hate on the Greek Freak winning one. My guy Bobby Portis won a championship
before the Knicks.
He's a hero, man.
Bobby,
they had the Bobby shirts, you know, the Bobby chants, you know what I mean?
I love that Giannis went to Chick-fil-A and got a 50-piece nugget the next day.
Yeah.
And I still haven't tried it, but he did the Sprite lemonade mix.
I didn't try that, but it's interesting, though.
I'm going to try it. Maybe after this, because I'm getting thirsty. Yeah. I might try the Sprite lemonade. The Giannis drink.
Yeah.
Giannis special.
Because sometimes, like, with Chick-fil-A, I'll get the lemonade, but I'll wait for the ice to, like, chill it out a little bit. It's a little too sweet. You know what I mean? You get charged up a little bit. So.
Didn't you know pink lemonade has cranberry juice in it?
I had no idea.
I was told that.
I had no idea.
I thought it was just, like, some coloring. It has cranberry juice. Fun fact. That you
fun
may
fact.
Never need to know.
The more you know.
I was told that by my co-host, Nelson Figueroa, and
I
Googled it, and it looks like he might have been right. So.
Wow. I had no idea, man.
Blows your mind.
I had no idea. So salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Everybody joining us for the lunchtime hour. Just to reset, we are live from Clyde's Wine and Dine here in New York City. And we are hosting this event for the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation's Lunch with Legends. So we have a lot of legends here from the 70s championship teams. And all the proceeds go to the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation. And as I said, there is a silent auction going on right now. If you guys want to purchase some exclusive Knicks and NBA memorabilia, some are autographed as well. Make sure you hit the link. The link is in the video description so you can check it out. You can participate. And all the proceeds go to the Dr. Dick Barnett Foundation. So it's going for a good cause. We're hoping after lunch we'll get to hear from Dr. Barnett. Maybe we'll hear from Clyde, hopefully Earl the Pearl. I know John Starks is here. They said Alan Houston was here as well. Earlier, if you guys had missed it, we spoke to Bill Hoskett. He was a member of the 70s championship team. Then we had a great sit-down with Spike Lee. Make sure you catch that. The legend Spike Lee made his Knicks Fan TV debut, so that was great. And then we had Mike Reardon as well. So we had some great guests so far, so make sure you guys are locking in. If you guys got to rewind, go ahead and rewind. But great show so far, man.
Yeah, and Dr. Barnett, I spoke to him a few months ago. What a character. I mean, it was just a hilarious interview because – you know, one, he's prideful of being a doctor, which I would be, too.
Yeah.
If I was a doctor, I'd have that on my business card for sure, the front of my
business card.
But his style, his swag, we did the interview with him over video, and he had shades and a suit on.
Yeah, me too.
And we weren't even posting the video, but he was swagging out.
He was ready, man.
And I was
whatever.
Sometimes I wish I lived in that era. I'd have a lot more hair. I'd have an afro.
Yeah.
I'd probably have like 3-inch heels, a Studio 54, disco ball. Who knows what else was going on then. Lots of drugs probably in the 70s. But I kind of wish I lived in that era because guys like that, and they styled and profiled. And not all of them, they said, hung out off the court, but they all styled off the court.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at the Clyde in front of us, this little thing of him.
You got the tiger, and then you got the leopard.
Yeah, he's
all
got
on
all
the walls.
All the prints.
So.
Yeah, and Dick Barnett still, Dr. Barnett still looks like that.
Yeah.
So that was cool about him. And, you know, he loved those teams. And what was interesting about him is that he had a crazy injury that some thought was going to be career ending.
Achilles.
And he came back, and that was the year they won. He came back, he was great, and they won. You have an Achilles injury now, you're done for the whole season.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that he came back, won, and was an integral part of a championship team,
in
today's era, that is unheard of. You're out for a year, more than a year.
Yeah.
Some guys miss a year and a half, 2 years. It was a different era back then. You come back from an Achilles injury and win a championship.
Indeed, man.
It's an incredible
story. Perseverance, indeed.